Wing Out Sister. The code word this hour is swing.
Swingers.
Time for your chance to win $1,000, WQAM's $1,000 slap shot. Text the word swing to 72881. Text swing right now, S-W-I-N-G. Text it right now to 72881. WQAM's $1,000 slap shot brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE, 1-800-747-3733. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at 6 o'clock. Who's coming up at 6 o'clock, Valero?
Christopher Whittingham.
Chris Whittingham.
From the BB&T.
He wishes he was in Vegas with us. Instead, he's at the BB&T Center. He'll get you ready for Panthers hockey tonight. So Chris Whittingham will have the next code word in 1 hour. Don't forget, it's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
Get up to the tap room. Try some of that food. It is delicious.
Always fun on a Friday, 5 o'clock hour. More fun when you're sitting in Vegas and it's 2 o'clock. and you've got the whole night ahead of you.
Get a little extra energy when you know you ain't got but 45, 50 minutes left. And then we get to go dabble in Vegas.
Dabble in Vegas. Trying to figure out what we're going to gamble tonight. We've got reservations with some friends at a nice steakhouse. We're going to have a good old time. And we're here courtesy of our friends at Showtime. We're at the Pacquiao Broner Radio Row. Getting you ready for Pacquiao Broner tomorrow night live on Showtime pay-per-view. Manny Pacquiao, a very big favorite. Just looking at the papers from the sports book.
Look at you.
Pacquiao minus 280 means that you'd have to lay $280 to win 100 if you think Pacquiao will win the fight. But then you can narrow it down, you know, if you want, with, you know, a knockout in a particular round, if you want to bet that. And there's a lot of different variations so that you can have your way.
I'm to the good old fashioned he wins.
He wins, he loses, man, move on to the next fight.
I'm a big fan of that, man. I got a handicap and plus minus. I don't like it.
All right, well, we've got a whole weekend of Vegas in front of us. There's a lot of stuff going on. We talked about, we had a fun night in Vegas last night, play a little roulette, did a little sports gambling, pulled up short in the sports gambling arena, and we did all right at the roulette table, so it actually went in our favor. Championship weekend is here. I think we want the Patriots to lose for two reasons, right? We hate New England.
Yes.
And we'd like to get Brian Flores in as the Dolphins head coach. I'm not even kidding you. And start shaping up the coaching staff and start getting everything together. Because if you don't get them this Monday, you're you know, every day that goes by, you're further and further behind other teams that are getting their bleep together.
I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. Because it's cool, yeah, Brian Flores, he's the guy, but he has to build an entire staff. The Dolphins coaching staff is nobody right now. We're assuming Darren Rizzi will be back, but that is a 100% assumption.
Assuming Jim Caldwell is going to be on the staff.
But that's nothing locked in.
We don't know anything about Matt Burke, right? Haven't heard anything
about Matt Burke. But then what if one of these established coaches that are there right now reach out to Jim Caldwell? Like we've seen it with, who was that Indy? That Josh McDaniels?
Josh McDaniels took the job, didn't take the job.
Like, until there is pen to paper, we don't know. So, yes, I have never thought of that angle. Yes, they knock him out. Knock out the Patriots so we can get the coach so he can build his staff. Because I think that's one of the main things people ignore about having a new coach.
Building everything around it.
It's not just him. It's his staff.
And he's got to get up to speed. He's never done it before. He's never been a head coach. So, yeah, I'd like to get him in Davie sooner rather than later. I mean, if all goes well, Patriots lose Sunday. Brian Flores is introduced Monday in Davie, I would think.
I think it'd be that, maybe Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. Like, maybe they make it official on Monday, and then they introduce him on Tuesday.
Because he got to move. He got to get his little items. Maybe some exit interviews with his players. He can't just hit it. Like, Saban would do it.
Did you see that story about
in KC, and he flies straight to Miami. He doesn't even go back to New England.
Did you see that story about Nick Saban and Dan Enos, the new offensive coordinator for the University of Miami? So was it safe, Valero, that Enos never told Saban. He just kind of hit it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, like Saban was asking his other coaches, like, where the hell is Dan? And, like, yeah, he just left. They looked in his office, and there was nothing there. So
I love that. If that's really the truth. Now, he's come out and denied that.
Yes, correct.
But if that's really the truth, I love this guy more than anything. That's what we need. We need Miami guys with swagger that just F you to Saban at every step of the way. It says Danny Enos was in line to be Alabama's new offensive coordinator. This is from CBSSports.com. After Mike Locksley left to take the head coaching job at Maryland. But instead of leading Tua Tagovailoa and the rest of the offense, he made a lateral move, joined first-year Miami coach Manny Diaz with the Hurricanes. He reportedly did it in the dead of night. According to a report from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic, Enos cleared out his office at Alabama without anybody on the coaching staff knowing, not even Nick Saban. To Saban's surprise, when he showed up January 11th to interview candidates to replace the recently departed offensive line coach Brent Key, who left to take that role at Georgia Tech, Enos was nowhere to be found and his office had been cleaned out. He was announced as Miami's offensive coordinator later that day. Enos took to Twitter to dispute the report. This is what he tweeted. I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here. Nothing but respect for CNS and Alabama, Coach Nick Saban, CNS. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to RTR, CNS, and the program. But then they write on CBS Sports, in this game of he said, she said,
what?
Who should you believe? Shut up, Valero. If you want to... If you want to get down to semantics, it is worth noting that Enos said in his tweet that he wouldn't leave an employer without telling them, not him. So who did he tell? If Saban was blindsided by the move, it clearly wasn't him. I love it. I think that is Miami swagger.
You're looking at the karma's a bitch.
Yeah, just, hey, suck it, Nick Saban, because everyone on that staff seems to be leaving for lateral moves. Like, there's a weird thing going on in Alabama, isn't there?
Oh, Nick Saban runs you the wrong way now.
Yeah, I would say
as a
so.
Grown man, the way he talks to people, because he – do you think Nick Saban sits down in his coaches' meetings, feet up, talking to them like friends?
And like everybody's an equal?
No, I'm Coach Saban. Go do your job. Like if the linebacker misses a tackle, he cusses out the linebacker coach. Dog cusses him like a child. You get tired of that? But for Dan Enos, and I love it too if he messed over Saban, because I found out Saban wasn't my head coach with the Dolphins, looking on ESPN bottom line. So I'm with you on the karma thing. It makes Enos look so bad for the future of his coaching career. If you up and leave in the middle of the night.
Disagree.
He's not where Nick Saban. Nick Saban's so high up, he doesn't have to worry about the people behind him.
It makes Enos look even better.
I'll tell you, this is the best way to put it. Nick Saban needs no bridges. Dan Enos should not burn his bridges. Mm. Nick Saban can burn everything behind him because he can build his own bridges in front of him because he's Nick Saban.
We're going to have to agree to disagree, man.
You have to agree with that statement. Who does Nick Saban need? Nobody. People need Nick Saban. Dan Enos needs Manny Diaz right now.
I just love the thought of him upping and leaving in the dead of night without telling Nick Saban, and Nick Saban trying to figure it out.
What if the story was that Dan Enos slapped Nick Saban on the way out?
Even better.
That would be a great story.
Even
but it's still
better.
Burning a bridge that he cannot.
How
he can't lose that bridge.
How great a story would that be? That would be great. We're going to talk in this hour, our friend Bill Ryder from CBS Sports, and we talked with Pharrell today from CBS Sports Radio Network. But Bill Ryder, who hosts at 6 p.m. on the CBS Sports Radio Network, he comes out a lot to these boxing radio rows with us. He's not at this one, but he is he's a fun guy to talk to. But he had Adrian Broner. You know, he does a show on CBS Sports HQ, which is their internet, you know, 24-hour-a-day sports network, and Bill Ryder does Ryder Than You on CBS Sports HQ. He had Adrian Broner on the other night, and it ended abruptly when Adrian Broner decided he was done with Bill Ryder. You have to listen to this sound. Play the sound, Laro.
Appreciate you making time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, guys, man. I'm excited.
I've been known to make the mistake of forgetting my beer in the fridge and having to get up. So you're telling me I need to stay where I am and could be a quick fight.
Yes, sir. Don't make sure you got all your nachos and the cheese and don't forget the jalapenos. Keep it all in one place, man. It could be a quick night.
Walk us through what Adrian Broner's doing once you're liberated from having to talk to people like me between that moment and stepping in that ring?
You kind of got lucky, man. I wasn't going to do none of these interviews. You kind of got lucky. So, you know, just cherish this moment. I usually don't be that this talkative this close to the fight.
People are saying that if Pacquiao somehow is able to win, they think there'd be a Mayweather fight again. Do you anticipate Floyd Mayweather, whoever it is, fighting anybody in a professional boxing match?
I'm not here to talk about Floyd.
This,
hey, all right, it's over.
Okay, pull it.
It's over. Okay, man.
Did I hear, Falero, did you hear like a woman's voice in the background there saying, okay, pull it? Like
yes.
So I guess she was the publicist. I didn't hear that the first time that we had played that earlier in today's show. That's interesting. So he says we're done, and I hear her say in the background, okay, pull it. Like,
that's
so they
crazy.
just clipped that.
They got to protect him.
Protect him from Bill Ryder?
Yeah, man, Ryder, man, he's tough on him. He was tough. He was too tough on him. Asking about beer questions, man. Tough questions.
It wasn't even about beer. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why Adrian Broner got so angry. Maybe that's a good sign for if you're a Broner fan, like maybe he's on edge and ready to go. Or conversely, save it for Manny Pacquiao. Don't waste it on Bill Ryder.
You got to be on edge, though. You're going in there to get your face bashed in front of the world. You got to be a little on edge.
We'll
you know
talk.
We should start doing that to guests. Tell them to cherish this moment.
You should cherish this moment. We don't talk to a lot of guests. You should cherish this moment. Write that down in your notes, Valero.
I don't have any notes.
Okay, write them down that we should tell guests to cherish this moment.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Maybe.
All right, have you done it?
Put it in your Hello Kitty, your little Hello Kitty notebook.
So funny.
Valero is so miserable when we're not there.
Yes, I am, man.
He's so on. You want to talk about being on edge? He is so miserable when we're not there. So what? Paint the picture for us.
10 by 10 room. Nobody to see. I'm just by myself, and I've been by myself for the past 4 hours, and I had to come in earlier because Solana's in New York, so I had to work 8 hours today.
So you produced Dono and Frito.
Yep.
And then you produced our show. So 8 hours. I just want to make sure everyone who's actually working a real hard job, who works 8 or 9 hours a day, wants to understand that Eric Valero is having a bad Friday.
They get breaks.
He had to work 8 hours today straight, sitting on a stool.
I get no breaks.
Listening to radio shows and being
anything
a smart-ass producer.
You could have 23-hour lockdown. 3 hots in a cot.
I was thinking more of like a tough job. I wasn't thinking of solitary confinement in the clink. But whatever, however you want to make the example. All right, settle down, Valero. Settle down.
I'm sorry.
It's Friday. There's 45 minutes left in our show. I mean, just relax.
I hope so.
it makes me laugh. So.
Call that a tough day of work? My Lord, this guy needs a wake-up call.
That's what he does.
He needs a wake-up call.
Just jump him.
Bill Ryder, CBS Sports Radio Network. Bill Ryder, host of Ryder Than You. He is going to join us in the next segment.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back live in Las Vegas, MGM Grand, Pacquiao Broner coming up tomorrow night on pay-per-view. By the way, I should remind everybody, our sister station, Kiss Country, they've got their 34th annual chili cook-off powered by Ford. It's January 26th at C.B. Smith Park in Pembroke Pines. It's a great lineup this year. Brooks and Dunn and Luke Combs, Rodney Atkins, Low Cash, lots of others. Get your tickets now at WKIS.com. You do not want to wait any longer. I will get those tickets for the 34th annual Chili Cook-Off powered by Ford right now at WKIS.com. Our friend is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. It's Bill Ryder. He's heard every evening on the CBS Sports Radio Network. You can see him every day on CBS Sports HQ. Sometimes he even comes out to these boxing events. And why aren't you here, Bill?
Well, I know. My boss has let me down. I wish I was partying with you guys. I really want to see this fight. I really want to see, if I'm being honest, Pacquiao destroy Adrian Broner. So I don't know. I'm bummed I'm not there.
There was a funny piece of audio that we played on the show earlier. It's you and Adrian Broner. He's on with your CBS Sports HQ TV show. And Broner, what is that just the way that he is? He's just cantankerous with the media?
I guess. I mean, I'm old enough that I've been doing this for a little bit. I've never had someone walk off a television interview before. To be fair, I had the audacity to ask him boxing questions, so I could see where that was, you know, a real challenge for him to get his mind around. I don't know what happened. I'll say this. I reached out to two guys in the boxing community who told me some stories that, yeah, not just media, heard a couple of stories about all-time great boxers trying to give him some advice. And, yeah, I think cantankerous is the word. I caught him on a bad day, and I guess he has those more often than other folks do.
Bill, is that him trying to play the villain or the bad guy role? Because you know he looks up to Mayweather. Is that him playing a role, you think?
Yeah, you know, so I had a couple people who saw the clip in the boxing world who reached out, right? And there's sort of a mixed response in explanation. One explanation was kind of a jerk, right? One explanation was the dude is trying, it's cutting weight and gets really put out when that's going on. It's in a bad place. And I get it. We've all been, right, tired or physically exhausted. But, you know, I think part of it, guys, just is who he is. Because you guys do this. You know how it is. Sometimes you got to ask people really difficult questions. That wasn't one of those interviews. So I don't, you know. I mean, I've had Blake Griffin tell me to do something anatomically impossible to myself. I've had folks in that Heat locker room who I respect raise their voice back when I was writing about LeBron when he was there. I've been through the ringer where if I not deserved it, at least I understood where it was coming from. This thing just was baffling.
What's going on with Blake Griffin, by the way? I don't know how long ago that was when he told you to do something anatomically impossible, but he's gotten angrier as the years have gone on, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, and I reported on him and that sort of dynamic with the Clippers a lot when I was there. I don't think he's a bad guy, right? But he is. He can be a really good teammate and friend, and he can be an ultra diva. And I do think that the culture that raises you up in professional sports can, not always, but can have an impact on sort of who you become as a player and your interactions with teammates in the media. And he was raised up by one of the worst organizations we've ever seen. It was the Donald Stern or Sterling organization, right? So I was there. He was pampered. He was not easy to deal with. And I think when he got traded to Detroit, it was a real betrayal and a shocker. And I don't think he was prepared for that kind of professional difficulty. I remember living in Manhattan Beach and seeing him out a lot, just out with his friends and out with, you know, various people. And he was like me in that town. You could tell he loved living there. So I think the issues he had before have been exacerbated by the fact that I don't think he wants to be living in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, seems to be coming out more and more from him. Bill Ryder is with us. Bill Ryder, you hear him every evening on the CBS Sports Radio Network. You see him on CBS Sports HQ. One of the more interesting things that I've seen in the sports debate world, which kind of snowballed a little bit this morning after Robert Kraft said that Tom Brady's the best football player ever. Not best quarterback, but best football player ever. And I'm kind of watching ESPN this morning, and they're debating it a little bit. And I wonder, and Channing and I talked about it a little bit, is Tom Brady... And I know it's a hard question to answer just on the spot, but is Tom Brady the greatest football player ever?
I don't think I'm ready. Yeah, I was sort of pondering when I saw the Kraft comment, too. I don't think I'm ready to go there yet, but I'm ready to put him on the list of people who are considered. I am not a knee-jerk, if you're the best quarterback of all time, you're the best player of all time guy, even though I understand the added value at that position, particularly in 2018 and all the things. I think he is unequivocally for me. He is for me, without a doubt, the greatest quarterback in the history of the game. And I'm not exactly a big Patriots apologist, to say the least. But, I mean, we actually talked about this last week randomly. I mean, Jerry Rice was a pretty good football player. I mean, you can just go position by position. The best players to ever play various positions have an argument for that spot. So I'm not mad about the conversation, but I'm certainly not ready to say he's the best football player of all time. I would need to ponder it, think about it. Look at the stats more, to be honest, more and do some reporting, because it's a hard question to answer. But for people who think he is, I'm not mad that that's their response.
I don't know, Bill, because you put so much pressure on him because he's the quarterback and so much attention on him. But Barry Sanders was an amazing running back, but his team was terrible.
Well, he didn't do it long enough.
But his team was terrible, so there's just so much more to it where a Deion Sanders
or Reggie
White.
But to be the best ever in anything, there has to be longevity, success. There has to be no instances of trouble. But you know what? There are instances of trouble in Tom Brady with Deflategate. I wonder if that counts against him.
Listen, I'm best quarterback of all time. Yes.
Whenever we weigh the greatest of all time, right, it's not about talent. I mean, there are more talented players than some of them. I mean, there are talented guys who have flamed out in all the major sports. So for me, it is accomplishment. It is the wins that you got. It is the championships you got. It is how lucky you were to be coached by Bill Belichick instead of whatever random Cleveland Brown coach was there for that particular part of the season. So, you know, most talented player ever? No, but the definition of greatest is totally different. It's why whether it's LeBron or it's Michael Jordan, it will in some part for me be dependent upon how many championships those guys won and the resume they put together. And so, you know, Brady's got the resume. For me, it ain't Deion Sanders and it ain't Barry Sanders for me. Whatever the right answer is, greatest football player ever, it's not those two guys for me.
Okay, so that being said, Bill Reiter, I know Bill Reiter, he likes to dabble in, you know, odds and gambling and stuff, as I do. Could you bring yourself to bet against Tom Brady on Sunday?
So I've got a little bit of an emotional tie up in this. When I was a newspaper reporter in Kansas City, Missouri, at the newspaper the Kansas City Star for 7 or 8 years, I didn't cover that team as a beat writer, but I wrote about them a lot. I spent time with, you know, Scott Pioli, GM at the time, can't say that without laughing. And I like Clark Hunt, the owner. My kids were born in that town, and I spent a lot of time in Arrowhead. So all of that said, this is a game I want to bet on the Chiefs, but I've had some really good weeks this year, and I've had some really bad weeks as I've indulged my gambling inclinations. And this one, I'm going to go with the Chiefs, guys. I don't know if I'm going to put money on them, but I think Kansas City can win the game, but you know, Tom Brady is something like 24-4 when it's 30 or low or below. I think it's 5-1 when he plays in games where it's 20 degrees or below. It's going to be really cold in Kansas City. So everything points toward me doubting and losing money on Brady again when I look back and say, what in the world was I thinking?
And what about on the other side, Bill? What you got in the NFC?
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I like the Saints. You know, Drew Brees and Sean McVay are Sean Payton. See, that's the reason I think they're motivated. They've never lost as a tandem in New Orleans in the postseason. I think Sean Payton is put out and tired of people talking about McVay and idiots like me confusing their names. And I think that Saints team, not a team of destiny, but we talk about one of the greats of all time. I think there's a conversation for Drew Brees to be a top three or four potentially quarterback in the history of the game, and getting a second Super Bowl is a big part of that. And not that he's trying to win a Super Bowl to prove it, or I think it's already true, and guys like that often win several, and we've seen guys like Elway do it at the end of their career. I like the Saints in that game.
Bill Reiter, CBS Sports, and you hear him on the CBS Sports Radio Network. You see him on CBS Sports HQ. And then, of course, while I'm out here in Vegas, I should put a 100, 200 bucks on Dolphins to win the Super Bowl next season.
I mean, I don't see why not. Or $200 on, you know, how many times Adam Gase's eyes are going to bulge out of his face.
Did you feel bad at all? Wait, we did this all week, man. We have ridden that guy all week, and usually I feel bad on stuff like that. For some reason, I didn't.
What are you looking at, ass?
You guys do send your failures. I was in the Miami Heat press area remember Frank Hayes? Hayes who got announced as the Missouri basketball head coach?
Yeah, the former UM basketball coach.
Right. Everyone, you know, 30 media guys started uproariously laughing and looking at me because I went to Mizzou. I'm like, wow, isn't this a good hire? And years later, I look back. So, no, I have no sympathy for the Jets. But, man, like, I don't even know anything about Gase, the guy. Is he just a weirdo? Like, well, you guys tell me, what was going on there?
I don't know. I've never seen him like that before.
He's nervous. It seemed like he was nervous and he doesn't know how to deal with it. It just, yeah.
It was weird. Like, we've seen weird press conferences where he's a little bit adversarial with the media. I've never seen anything from Adam Gase that was even close to those eyes darting around and the machinations that he was making with his head and neck. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's going to end real well. Your inability to master the media in New York your first time out. I'm sure that story has a real happy ending for Dolphins.
Yeah, great for Dolphins fans, though, one would think. Who knows, though? That's Who knows? Long as the greatest football in greatest football player in history is in our division, everything is just a little bit tougher. What are you going to do?
Someday he'll retire. Someday
he'll retire. Who's going to win tomorrow night, Pacquiao or Broner?
After that interview, actually, I don't even care. It was funny. Who's going to win? I'm a little worried that Broner's actually going to win. Pacquiao, I've been to his gym in L.A., and it feels like it was 30 years ago when I was talking to Freddie Roach, back when he used to train with Freddie, about how that was going to go down. It feels to me like Broner, like it's his time and it's his moment.
Oh, interesting. That's really the first person I've heard
say
that definitively.
I would put money on it if I were there. I would put money on it.
Really? Although, he's a big underdog.
I know, he's a big dog. And the only sports that I ever make real money on consistently, for whatever reason, is fighting sports. Either because I know boxing, UFC, or more likely because I'm in Vegas and I just had a lot to drink and I'm getting real lucky. But either way, that's probably the move that I would make.
All right, there you go. Bill Ryder, CBS Sports Radio Network, CBS Sports HQ. Thank you for making time for us, Bill. Wish you were out here in Vegas with us.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy Vegas.
Maybe for Pacquiao Mayweather, too. Maybe we'll see you out there for that.
Already then. Done.
All right, let's take a break from Vegas. We're at the MGM Grand. We'll come right back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
That is our Friday getting out of work music.
It means more today when we're in Vegas.
It really does, man, because it feels like it's almost 6 o'clock. It's almost 3 o'clock.
We had to plan out our night to stay awake.
We were so thrown off our game, man.
So we go take a nap for 2 hours.
We are coming to you today live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, courtesy of our friends at Showtime. And tomorrow night, it is Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao and Adrian the Problem Broner. It is live on pay-per-view from Vegas tomorrow night. And we appreciate everybody listening the last couple days as we've been out here, and certainly Showtime for sending us out here and helping us get you ready for Pacquiao Broner. We've talked to some interesting people. We've had a good time out here. The weigh-in is about 15 minutes away. That'll be happening. Oh, I do have in this last segment a great prize to give away. We've got a $50 gift card for Duffy Sports Grill. So do not let me end this segment without giving that away. Valero?
What?
I got you.
Do not let me end this segment without me doing the giveaway for Duffy's.
Okay, I'll try my best.
All right, or else I'm not going to bring you those cupcakes that you wanted me to bring you home from Vegas, which is weird.
I hope you forget. Okay, I don't want that.
Strange, man. Josh Richardson is out for the Heat tonight, so that means we're going to put some money on Detroit?
Yes.
Are we? We're going to stop at the sports book?
Did you not hear Ira yesterday, man? He says, no, whoever's out, doesn't matter who's out, this team could still win. So, and the Detroit Pistons are terrible.
Yeah, but is this the first game of their road trip?
No, they got killed in Milwaukee.
They were on the road?
In Milwaukee.
All right. Oh, yeah. They got killed.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't they lose by 40?
Yeah,
I don't know. Then Dwayne Wade, he'll go out and do some Dwayne Wade-type thing from the past and mess us up. Yeah, let's stay away from that.
Now you're off it?
Yeah, we just decided
during the commercial break to bet Detroit.
Valero did remind me. We talked to Ira. Was that yesterday?
But we had Lee Sterling on today. He said bet Detroit.
Who are we going with, Valero, Ira, or Lee Sterling?
Ira covers the team for a living.
Yeah, but what does Ira know? Ira he shops at Goodwill. I don't even know what that means. 5 o'clock hour, by the way. 5 o'clock hour is presented by our friends at Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha Happy Hour. And like I said, it is especially happy when you're in Vegas. Detroit is -2.5 now. I just looked online. It was 1.5 earlier. So Josh Richardson has meant a point in the line. This is interesting. We were watching yesterday. We had money on the the Lakers-OKC game and whatnot. I look at this website, TV by the numbers. For the week, the top 25 original cable shows among adults 18 to 49 for the week beginning yesterday. So it goes night by night. And 1849, that's a money demo. Adults 1849, that's a money demo for advertisers. So the number one show last night was Lakers Thunder, and it was 1.9 million viewers at one point, a 0.8 rating. The second show last night, second highest rated show, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Come on.
That show is so damn good.
Did you mean disgusting when you said good?
It is disgusting, but it's a great show. Have you watched that yet, Valero?
No, I don't want to watch it. Solana keeps showing me videos from it. It's not for me, okay?
It's not for everybody, but it's a great show. Have you watched it,
no,
Crowder?
I don't like stuff like that.
Dr. Pimple Popper, 2.8 million viewers last night. It is a runaway hit on TLC.
What's the concept of it?
She is a dermatologist. Her name is Dr. Sandra Lee. She is a dermatologist, and people that have these big cysts and whatever that have grown for years and years and years, and no other dermatologist will do anything or whatever. She started by just posting YouTube videos of her in her office popping these cysts or pimples and whatnot, and people found it satisfying to watch them. Ugh. And it's grown into, she was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night. It is expanded like wildfire, but the patients that she sees, like, some of their deformities are stomach turning. And then she doesn't finesse it, man. She pops.
Jumps in.
It doesn't matter if it's a grapefruit sized thing.
What is those show? And then it comes around to the 600-pound life thing.
Oh, I love that show.
What is the joy about watching people struggle through stuff?
It's not the joy of watching them struggle. Like, you watch My 600-pound Life to watch them overcome years of obesity, and they turn their life around. And it's the same thing with Dr. Pimple Popper. These people sometimes have had a deformity. They had one last week I was watching. She was a stripper, and she had, when I tell you, it was the size of a grapefruit on her shoulder, okay? And she was very pretty. And she goes, you know, sometimes when I'm up there dancing, I feel like the guys are looking at my shoulder. I'm looking at my wife. I go, how could you look at anything else?
I know
it's
her.
Like
her stage name is Quasi. Quasimodo.
Yeah, I got you. You didn't need the explanation of Moto at the end.
That's
I got
my,
you with Quasi.
That's my boo-boo.
She was. I'm telling you. I got to see if I can find that.
I don't want to see it. No, look.
No, I'm not there. But, okay. But they solved it. Dr. Sandra Lee, does anybody watch this? Text it in at 560-22. No, I just told you, 2.9 million viewers last night.
But Huck, I've watched the. I haven't seen the Pimple Pop. I've seen the 600-pound Life. Those people don't. They're not cured. A lot of them.
A lot of times they're on the path to. Yeah.
But then you know they're gonna go right back to what they were doing. They've been doing it 50 years.
Oh, that's your negative glasses half empty
Jesus.
Attitude.
That lady, 700 pounds can't walk.
That's not my attitude.
Gonna talk to a lady for 3 days and fix it.
No, it's not. No, it's Dr. Nwarji Hegeyan. I know that show. I love that show. You reminding me to do the giveaway, Falero?
Yes.
What was that?
Solo Dolo.
Oh goodness. What happens to you?
Yeah, man. Something
I'm cooped up back here, man. What do you want me to do?
Wrong with you, man?
Cabin fever.
Yes.
Let's give away this $50 gift card. Duffy's Sports Grill. I love that place. They got a great weekend wing deal. You can get 20 wings for $17.99. And those are the famous classic Duffy's wings, man. Boneless or regular.
Yeah, that's a deal.
I know. It's a great deal. And it goes every weekend in January. So you can go there this weekend. You can watch conference championship games. There's Duffy's all over South Florida. But we have a $50 gift card for Duffy's. If you want to find the one closest to you, go to duffysmvp.com. But if you want to win the $50 gift card, be caller 5 on the contest line.